Strolling through the hallowed fields of Arlington Cemetery and many other cemeteries strewn throughout the U.S., you might run across a headstone that says something like this: James Oliver Height Sr., Virginia, PFC, 513 Engineers, World War I. He was actually one of the survivors of the war. There were 37 million casualties. More than 20 million people died. That's more than the entire individual approximate populations of North Korea, Australia, the Netherlands, Chile, Romania, Senegal, Ivory Coast, and 176 other countries. A part of the reason for the high death toll was the crude nature of World War I.
At the start of this war, I mean, Europe was, you know, it comes from the 18th century, 19th century. So it was like empires and kings and so on, people riding on horses. The major employment was farming. But during the course of these short 4 years, the entire world changed.
Chris Isley, Director of Public Affairs at the U.S. World War I Centennial Commission.
People started using telephones, people rode in cars, people flew in airplanes, chemotherapy was developed, and horrific weapons, tanks, submarines, airplanes, gas.
Of the 37 million casualties, there were 1.3 million that were a direct result of gas. The U.S. didn't join the fighting in World War I until April 6th of 1917, linking up with Britain, France, and Russia to fight under the command of Major General John Pershing.
3,000 miles from home, an American army is fighting for you. Everything you hold worthwhile is at stake. Only the hardest blows can win against the enemy we are fighting.
He spoke to the nation from the battlefields of France.
Invoking the spirit of our forefathers, the Army asks your unflinching support to the end that the high ideals for which America stands may endure upon the earth.
America had enormous presence in World War I. 4.7 million Americans suited up and joined the military to serve during the war. Of those, 2 million American men and women deployed to the fight, mostly in Europe. And of those, 116,516 Americans lost their lives during the war.
Many Americans were not in favor of the U.S. entering the war and wanted to remain neutral. Others didn't wait for the U.S. to officially enter.
In the First World War, more than 35,000 U.S. citizens crossed the border and joined the Canadian Expeditionary Forces.
Colonel Jim Davis, Rear Chief of Staff for the 1st Canadian Division Headquarters.
And to mark their sacrifice, the Government of Canada donated a cross of sacrifice in 1926, which stands tall in Arlington Cemetery, not that far from the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier.
And it seems fitting that on a cold, blustery day like today, that the cross stands majestically here at Arlington Cemetery, quietly marking the storied history of the effort to win World War I. In order for World War I to come to an end, there had to be great sacrifice. One of those sacrifices took place in France, in a place called Vimy Ridge. Canadian forces successfully captured the high ground from the Germans. Again, Colonel Davis.
The fact that all eyes were upon Canada to attack and capture this ridge, and we did so at great cost.
That cost, 3,598 Canadian troops killed, 7,004 wounded. But that number paled by comparison to the 150,000 French casualties the year before, trying to take the same ridge from the Germans' machine guns.
We lost 1.4 million of dead out of a population of 40 million, 1.4 million. And we had 700,000 permanently crippled people.
Gérard Arrault is France's ambassador to the U.S. He was a witness to the horrors of that war.
Myself, when I was a teenager, you know, in the 60s, I remember that we had a neighbor on the second floor who has been gassed when he was 18 years old on the front. And 50 years later, you know, every time he was going upstairs, you know, we could hear the breathing, you know, the painful breathing.
Another unfortunate symptom, his neighbor could never lie down to sleep. He had to do it in an armchair. There were many dark, tragic, and haunting moments about World War I. But there was a moment of hope, the likes of which has never been recorded before or since. It was Christmas, 1914, in Ypres, Belgium.
The British were fighting, of course, the Germans. No one was making much progress. It was wet. It was cold. It was miserable.
Lynn Jane Foreman's great uncle served in that war.
The trenches were soaked. The soldiers were soaked. On Christmas Eve, they heard the bells from a nearby church.
Chris Islieb.
Christmas carols that people were just singing, and then the other side would start singing along. And then there was just this need to, you know, stand up and not be in war.
And one young, brave British soldier stepped out of the trench with a white flag. Colleague from across no man's land, a German soldier, also stepped up. And they met where the barbed wire was, right between the trenches. And one by one, all of the soldiers, along with their officers, came out into the middle of this snow and ice and essentially had a party. They sang, they gave each other little gifts, they showed pictures of their loved ones.
It was one of the most benevolent moments ever recorded in the history of war. Then, the next day, it was back to war. World War I, the Great War, it was called. In addition to triggering the collective global resolve to never allow another destructive spectacle like that to happen again, it inspired the production of a number of essential elements that would be used later in that war and in others as well.
Actually, Major Clooney McPherson of the Newfoundland Regiment, who during the Battle of Ypres, in the immediate aftermath, when they saw the horrific effects of the gas attacks and the significant casualties that they were causing, he devised the first gas mask that stayed in use for many years after that.
Captain Kirk Sullivan, public affairs officer of the Royal Canadian Air Force, assigned to the Canadian Embassy in Washington. Armistice Day is commemorated every year on the 11th of November to mark the armistice signed between the Allies of World War I and Germany at Compiègne, France, for the cessation of hostilities on the Western Front of World War I. It took effect at 11 o'clock in the morning, the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, 1918. The armistice brought an end to World War I, but Captain Sullivan says something we must never allow to end is our remembrance of the horrific toll that war took on humanity.
So for me, that time, that day, every year, I'm reminded of the people from my hometown, the people who were lost during that war, and the people who never came back. They never had children. They never had grandchildren. They were young men and women, and they were lost, injured, or changed forever. I think it's important to remember the military successes, but it's also a very somber time for me. It's a very somber time for my family members. We lost so many during that war.
So when you see people wearing red poppies, remember that poppy is symbolic of the millions of young people that were lost in the Great War, the war to end all wars. J.J. Green, WTOP News.